Ellen, did you know about the cable that links Australia to other countries?
No.
That's hilarious. How did you think we connected to the internet?
I don't know. I thought it was all in the cloud.
Hi, I'm Josh Nicholas.
And I'm Ellen Lee Beater. If this is the first time you've heard us, we are drilling down into Australia's fabled knowledge economy. If it's the future, we want to find out what it's all about.
So far, we've looked at how hard it is for startups to get finance and how we soon may be facing a tech brain drain.
This time, it's all about infrastructure. For me, this involved learning about the giant cables that connect Australia to the rest of the world that make the use of websites and apps possible.
It's these connections to the rest of the world that make the knowledge economy. Without them, there would be no internet for our tech startups to do their thing.
But infrastructure isn't just about the giant cables. It's about a whole bunch of things, like the little cables that connect to your house or office. I think James Cooter summed up the infrastructure problem pretty well in our first episode.
At the moment with our office, we have calls from, Germany, Japan, America, Korea, and we have to apologize to them and say, we really can't use video because our internet's so poor because we can't get NBN, so we're just on this really crappy ADSL connection.
Basically, we're the laughingstock of the world when it comes to our internet speeds. Back in 2013, the current government announced a fibre to the node scheme, which they rolled out when they were elected. I'm going to let Sean McAuliffe explain this one.
The Coalition launched its national broadband network proposal this week, and yes, compared to the government's NBN, it's a far inferior service, but the good news is that you will get that inferior service sooner. And it's cheaper. So sooner, cheaper, and politicians always speak in threes, don't they? Help me out, somebody.
Sooner, cheaper, and more affordably.
Cheaper and more affordably. Hopefully they can get it to cost less as well.
I know I get so frustrated when my cat videos don't load fast enough.
Are you serious? That goes for 10 hours. Of course it's not going to be able to load quickly.
Point is, I can't imagine how these guys go trying to actually do something productive with their time.
And it's something we've come across with a few of our startups. Aaron Berkby, a serial entrepreneur, says the slow internet speeds are a restriction on what his businesses have been able to achieve. In fact, in one of the co-working spaces he was at, they had 20 startups running on one ADSL connection. Let me say that again. One ADSL connection.
High-speed bandwidth so that I can sit anywhere and code and bang stuff out. That's lacking. It's been an issue for us where we were with the co-working space in Robina. We couldn't even get like ADSL 2. We were on ADSL 1 speeds, and trying to get 20 startups or a hackathon running off that was impossible. So it is an issue. It's definitely a limitation.
For context, unless you're one of the lucky ones who got a special fibre optic connection under Labor's NBN plan, your internet is probably ADSL.
And basically, ADSL is slow and comes through normal phone lines. Fibre optic cable, on the other hand, is super fast and comes through special cables. It's what a lot of other countries are installing all over the place, and what the Labour government was going to run before the Libs decided to can it. This isn't just a limitation on people who want to develop innovative products, or for that matter, people who want to game for days on end, or even have their stupid cat videos download faster.
Hey!
It's also a limitation to what you, a consumer, can experience.
It's lacking from that point of view, but also from the consumption point of view. Like, we could be doing a lot more in the marketplace to consumers if we had the bandwidth to deliver stuff to them. Yeah.
And this is just in the realm we understand. Josh, I'm going to get deep here.
How deep?
Real deep. Remember George, the crack coder from our last episode? Well, he said that a good internet connection is going to make a difference.
I think that if you want to, if you want to be a software developer or a web designer, having a great internet connection is important, and it certainly makes you more efficient.
There's a but coming here, isn't there?
But a lot of discussion at the moment is around this NBN and what is the benefit of it, and therefore if we're saying that the future of society is down this technological path. The benefit of that sort of infrastructure is what it enables, not so much what it makes better or improves now.
So if we had implemented Labor's fibre to the house plan, it would not just benefit the startups of today, but the startups of tomorrow as well.
when you have that sort of limitless infrastructure to support your creativity and support the software that you write, the applications you build, then you're not limited by the capability of the system. You're limited by your imagination. It's more about the what it enables for the future, stuff that we can't comprehend yet.
Pretty deep stuff. Of course, the internet is only one part of this equation. There's also the stuff on the other end of it, the servers.
This isn't actually so much of a problem. Australia is pretty good on the server front. Alan Dorr is the managing director of Go Hosting, which is a company that provides server and web hosting infrastructure to businesses.
We have a pretty good presence in Australia in terms of data centres, but I would say that the ones like what Google use and that kind of thing are a lot larger than any of them here in Australia. But we do have good sized data centres around the place.
So we have servers, but they come at a price. When I spoke to Mark Pattenberg, the CEO of the Innovation Centre Sunshine Coast, he told me that you pay for what you get.
So the more space and security you need, the more you pay.
And in Australia, what you pay for is probably more expensive than what you're paying overseas.
Yeah, the infrastructure has been catching up quickly, but I think most would admit what you get in Australia is probably a little bit more expensive too because of the scale issue. Electricity's more expensive. We've got a hotter climate.
So if we're becoming more reliant on these tech startups, who are in turn more reliant on things like servers, will we need to increase the size of our data centres?
Turns out probably not. Technology is making our lives more efficient, and it's also making the life of the data centre more efficient too.
The technology is getting a lot better, so storage is getting faster, processing power is becoming more energy efficient and more powerful. Servers themselves are using a lot less power and taking up a lot less space, generating a lot less heat. So therefore your power consumption and your cooling is coming down quite dramatically. So who knows what the future holds.
By extension, until they come up with something faster than the speed of light, our connection to the rest of the world is going to stay the same.
And those cables, they're going to last a long time.
But it's on the bottom of the ocean. I just don't understand, Josh.
There's not enough time to go into that. That's worthy of another series entirely.
So I guess that's all we have time for today. Tune in again for the next segment of our series, where we put the question of the NBN to the politicians and also discuss the government's role in Australia's startup scene.
I'm Josh Nicholas.
And I'm Ellen Liebeder.
Thanks for your company.